Welcome to the EAU podcast series. Start Smart, EU ACME, for young urologists. In this second episode, Becoming a Member and Using EU ACME, we rejoined by Professor Marek Babduk, Associate Professor Juan Luis Vasquez, Professor Giorgio Ivan Russo, and Dr. Loic Bakelant. Together, they will provide practical guidance on joining the program and making effective use of its tools. Discuss how EU ACME supports career progression, helps track educational activities, and encourages continuous professional growth. Join us as we embark on this informative journey.
Hi, gentlemen. We meet again, and we will talk today about the EU ACME, which is the accredited continuing medical education in European urology. And we will talk about how the young or how the urologist may become the member and how to work with the system. And even we try to provide some practical recommendation how to do that.
Thank you so much, Marek. This is Giorgio Russo. I'm the chairman of the IAU, and I'm settled at the University of Catania. And with me, we have Juan Luis Vasquez and Loic to share with you this podcast. Juan.
Yeah, hello, Marco. Nice seeing you again, and you too, Giorgio and Loic. My name is Juan Luis Vasquez, chair of the Young Urologist Office. And it's very nice to be here again, talking to you about something that we don't really know much about. But I think it is very important to know more and how to take advantage of this. So thank you, Marco, for being here, sharing your knowledge about this.
Hi, everyone. So I'm also happy to join again with all of you. I'm Loic from Belgium, the chairman of the ESRU. And I'm excited to know more about the practical side. What are the first steps a resident can do to become a member and start using the EU ACME?
Yeah, so Marek, we have understood on the previous podcast that we have registered all these acronyms and abbreviations that we can read on the website. But I'm not young anymore and I wish to be. But sometimes I have questions on how to become an EU ACME member. Is something that EU society can help us, can help young residents, attendings. So can you help us?
Okay, so I must say you are very young still, but you know the medical professional can join the EU ACME program in two different ways, I think. The first one, and it is the easiest one, is to be the member of some urological society which is already affiliated with the EU ACME program. Then you automatically became the member of the EU ACME program as well. The best example is EAU. All EAU members are automatically the members of EU ACME. Another option, there are some national societies which also are affiliated with the program, which is today Estonia, Poland, and the Netherlands. And of course, this is the second option. You can connect it to the EU ACME program as an individual member. There is some fee that you need to pay for individual membership. The annual fee is 33 euro. So this is how to become the member. But, the technical point is then quite easy. You simply visit the EU ACME website, fill out the online registration form, which is not difficult to fulfill, I think.
I mean, this is one of the benefits of the EAU society. So being a member of the EAU has some benefits for the ACME. So sometimes for young, we don't know how many benefits we can have being a member of the society. And I think this is truly important to have connections with different platforms and benefits for us as professionals. Yeah.
I'm very glad you mentioned this, Giorgio, because again, we at the board of the EU we do discuss a lot what are the benefits of being a member of the EU. But Marco, you said that being a member of the EU makes you automatically registered in the EU ACME, right? That's what I understood. But then, if you're not a member and you need to register in the EU ACME, what would you need?
then you can, as I mentioned already, you can join as an individual member. So you enter the EU ACME website. You need to ask for individual membership, and of course you will be asked to pay some annual fee, which is, as I mentioned, 33 euro.
But what documents are necessary to register? Or is it necessary to have any documentation that you are a doctor, or you're a resident, that you are a urologist, or well?
Yes, if you are the member of the society, you don't need any documents. But
any difference, for example, Marek, if one is resident or one is specialist, there are differences in the process.
Yeah, to be true, the system was created for medical specialists, for urological specialists. But because of their lifelong learning, which we will talk about as well, so we register, but we register also the residents, and we distinguish between members and young members.
Sorry, for interrupting. Is it then like a right moment for a resident to in residency to create like your MyCME account, or? Yeah, I think most of the residents listening are going to be a member of the EU and automatically get it. But for those who are not?
Yeah, we call it junior membership, of EU ACME. So either you are a member or junior member. Technically, it is the same. I mean, how to register, how to become the member, there is no difference. But if you are resident, of course, there are many reasons why to do that. You know, you start to register your activities. You can, as I mentioned already, you can have a system in your educational portfolio. It is registered forever, so you can come back to that during your career and so on and so on.
I would like to ask you for an example in which not every year we can join the EAU Congress. This is the big one, very important for our career. But sometimes we join non-accredited activities. So my question is, does the ACME track accredited or non-accredited activities in which we can put everything inside?
We register in EU ACME system, in MyCME, we track both accredited and non-accredited activities. Of course, you can achieve the CME points or CME credits for accredited activities. If the activity is not accredited, then you can achieve the CPD points for that. Altogether gives you a member a complete picture of learning of his educational activities he underwent.
I have a curiosity because, as you well know, the EAU is becoming more and more global, and there are lots of members that are from outside Europe, and we also are attending activities in outside of Europe. How does it the MyCME handle activities from outside Europe?
Now, yeah, some international events also carry some recognized accreditation, so then it is easier. But if you participate on activity outside Europe, if you have the certificate of that, and the certificate has all necessary details like the dates, location, and all, of course, the participant's name, then it can be also registered in the system. But you must do it actively.
Yeah, I was wondering also because we have a close collaboration, for instance, with the Urological Association of Asia, where there are participants to the Youth Leadership Forum, and they get two years of free membership to the EAU. And this is something that also can be an advantage for them. So I'm really happy that this is also covered. I'm the one responsible for this collaboration, so that makes me very happy. And I'm going to the Philippines this year, and that's something that I will definitely focus on.
I was also thinking because, I think a lot of residents are keeping track of their activities in spreadsheets, Excel, and so on. What does MyCME offers, or how challenges the spreadsheet?
Yeah, the spreadsheet, I think, is the history, or should be history, because it is not official, it is not standardized. You can lose it, more or less, yeah. I think MyCME offers clear, registered, and approved verification, it is some secure document storage, compatibility with European continuing medical education system, and so on and so on. And of course, if you for some reason need to demonstrate your educational activities, if it is asked in some European countries, then of course this is the material that is respected, and or the system that is respected, and it has its value, I hope.
I can imagine that it also then like generates reports like for residents. It's sometimes important to hand in an overview to your supervisor or some other authorities. So I think it can also do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So Marek, for example, it's important that ideally we can start collecting these points, CME and TPD, ideally from day one of our residency. And we should start by the beginning. And then we continue to construct years by years all what we collect and what we achieve and what we attend in our career. But does the CME help with jobs, fellowships, something that residents can really, for them, it's really important?
Yeah, I understand your question. You know, this CME, of course, I hope is very important to demonstrate that you are really a well-educated urologist who continues with lifelong learning, let's say, after your exam and when you became the specialist. My CME help you to show you the verified educational record. This is really a very powerful asset when you're applying for some job, when you ask for some position, enter the competition for some position. So we believe this is very important for the career of every urologist.
I think it can provide structured records, verification of all our educational activities. Any reasons we don't use that, but sometimes when we, as a resident, we do applications for fellowship, I think we can use that and then recover, download, and then send, because it's a track of something. It's not only a normal CV. I think it's like a supplementary of our activities, what we have done, the interests that we have, oncology, non-oncology, pediatrics, or whatever. And we never used, I can say in Italy we don't use, but I think it's a chance to do that.
And also reduce a lot of stress. Hit the small button and then get everything that you've done in the last past years.
And you know, it gives you a chance to really present yourself as a motivated and continuously developing professional. You know, it is, I think, important not only to be really an expert in practical urology, but to be a professional in how you register your educational activities.
I think we have to put also photograph every 10 years or 5 years and see how our face changes during our career of urologist, from be happy as a resident or not happy. By the end of our career, we can follow our hair loss or something, our beard, or when we came older. I don't know, Juan, you are the same since I know you, but...
I don't want to talk about age. Don't get me into that area.
I became 39 just last week, but anyway, we can ask the Marek to put our photos. Anyway, every 10 years, we are obliged to upload a new photograph.
It will be the part of next update of the system. The idea is that on the first photo will be the photo of happy resident, talented, and on the end will be the photo of a retired urologist happy with his or her magnificent career. You know,
my CME won't be only about collecting points, but it will be a whole story.
Did you start already? Did you start collecting?
I'm a member, so normally automatically already.
Yeah, you're right.
So, statistician of the best photos and best record.
So I'm going to ask a silly question because probably people out there don't really know. But what are the common activities that are recorded or that are registered in the MyCME, Marco? Congresses, or what is it that typically young urologists record?
Yeah, according to what we can find in the system and can specify from the system. For instance, for young urologists, this is participation on EAU or ENU Congress sessions. These are national urology meetings. These are some departmental educational activities, simulation and hands-on workshops, which are more and more frequent. We all know this. And of course, these are some publication abstracts.
Publications are also counting in there.
Yes, yes. And also the, let's say that the, for instance, the MCQs, response of MCQs in European Urology Journal, for instance, and so on.
So guys, thank you so much for, and Marek, thank you so much for being with us, answering all these questions. That's very, very important for us. And Juan Loic, do you want to say something?
I will just close saying that I hope that next time we meet, well, will be as young as I am, and I will keep my hair. I'm looking forward to seeing you and keep discussing these topics.
I'm happy that with this system, we can avoid a lot of stress and we can maybe avoid our hair loss later on.
Okay, it was nice debate. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you for this insightful episode. We are sure our listeners enjoyed it. To keep up with the latest EAU podcasts and stay informed on the urological advancements, be sure to subscribe to our EAU podcast channel on your favourite podcast app. Until next time, keep learning and stay inspired.